Saturday, March 29th. First reading from Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. It is He who has rent, but He will heal us. He has struck us, but He will bind our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days. On the third day, He will raise us up to live in His presence. Let us know, let us strive to know the Lord. As certain as the dawn is His coming, and His judgment shines forth like the light of day, He will come to us like the rain, like spring rain that waters the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your piety is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. For this reason I smote them through the prophets, I slew them by the words of my mouth. For it is love that I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Haydock Commentary. God is always ready to receive penitence. The Lord is saying in a short time He will easily set them free. The prophet refers more directly to the resurrection of the faithful and of Christ. See Ephesians 2:5 and 1 Corinthians 15:4. St. Paul mentions the third day according to the Scriptures, which is nowhere else so clearly specified as here. Mercy comes from the Hebrew word chesed, whence the word Assyrians is derived in 1 Maccabees 2:42. The captives flattered themselves that as soon as they began to entertain sentiments of repentance, God would relieve them. But He answers that their virtue is inconstant and that they must suffer in proportion to their crimes. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, that is, sincere piety over the sacrifices of the law. St. Jerome takes this as God saying, "My victims are the salvation of the faithful and the conversion of sinners." The Gospel from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself, "O God, I thank You that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes on my whole income." But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Haydock Commentary. In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we have three examples of prayer, one of the persevering widow, another of the poor publican who solicits the divine mercy by the acknowledgement of his crimes, and the third of the proud Pharisee who only goes to the temple to pronounce his own panegyric and enter upon an accusation of his humble neighbor whose heart is unknown to him. St. Gregory says, there are four ways by which men are guilty of pride. First, by thinking they have any good from themselves. Second, by thinking that though they have received it from above, it was given them as due to their own merits. Third, by boasting of the good they do not possess. And fourthly, by desiring to be thought the only persons that possess the good qualities of which they thus pride themselves. The pride of the Pharisee seems to have consisted in attributing to himself alone the qualities of which he boasted. St. John Chrysostom says, he who is guilty of publicly speaking against his neighbor is likewise the cause of much damage to himself and others. First, he injures the hearer, because if he be a sinner, he rejoices to find an accomplice. If he be just, he is tempted to vanity, seeing himself exempt from the crimes with which others are charged. Second, he injures the church by exposing it to be insulted for the defects of its members. Third, he causes the name of God to be blasphemed, for as God is glorified by our good actions, so he is dishonored by sin. And fourth, he renders himself guilty by disclosing that which it was his duty not to have mentioned. See how the Pharisee here, by pride, lays his heart open to the devil, which he had in vain shut against him by fasting and prayer. It is in vain to defend a city if you leave the enemy a single passage by which he may enter in, so says St. Gregory. If anyone should ask why the Pharisee is here condemned for speaking some few words in his own commendation, and why the like sentence was not passed on Job, who praised himself much more, the difference is evident. The former praised himself without any necessity, merely with an intention of indulging his vanity and extolling himself over the poor publican. The latter, being overwhelmed with misery and upbraided by his friends, as if forsaken of God, he suffered his present distress in punishment of his crimes, justifies himself by recounting his virtues for the greater glory of God, and to preserve himself and others in the steady practice of virtue under similar temptations.